Remember, remember, the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. Good morning or good evening, depending on, just when we're reaching you. You're listening to 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com. It's a weekly conversation with the interesting artists and thinkers and ballers and athletes and just cool damn people of our day. I am William Morgan, and today we're a little unhinged for our unusual temporal mooring. This is episode number 109, scheduled for November 5th, but we are recording it now, Tuesday, October 29th. So I guess that means we're doing a little time traveling. You know, like flying DeLoreans and shit. But that is perfectly in sync with tonight's guest, our West Coast sync correspondent.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the Berkeley clock tower at precisely 10:04 p.m. Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it might just work. On Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future, to November 5th, because Joe Alexander has been all over time and space for you in order to make this report. Joe, as you may well know, is a friend of the show, appearing on episodes 15, 48, 50, and 82. He contributed a wonderful chapter to last year's Sync Book Volume 2, but most recently found himself stringing a wire for 42 minutes during San Francisco Sync Week. Hey, Joe.
Hello.
So, you've been initiated into the cult. How are you?
I'm great. Very well. Thank you. How are you two doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
We had no idea that was the part of the world where you live now, but it seems perfect. Take us back to October 19th.
Okay, so October 19th was the date of the Sync Summit.
No.
Am I right here?
It's
no?
Week before. The Saturday before. You find yourself, I found out about this like the day before. I didn't even know this was coming up. Some theater showing Room 237 with Rodney Asher there.
Yeah, right. How did I hear about this? About Rodney Asher. Okay, so I saw this on Facebook the day before. And so I was in the Oakland area for work, and I had been totally focused on what I was doing, and I knew that there were some sync heads out here, and I was really trying to not make plans to complicate why I was out here, but then I saw this Rodney Asher thing going on, and I knew I had to go. So this was really like a last-minute thing. Alan Green, I believe, posted the time and the place. It happened to be 30 minutes from where I was staying, so I drove down and saw 237 at a live screening in downtown San Francisco.
And so what was that like? I mean, so was it a full house? Was it?
Go ahead.
No. I'm just reaching.
So it was on an interesting street in downtown San Francisco, just a lot of eccentrically dressed people with what I imagine would have been cool personalities, and I thought it was just a perfect setting for this type of screening. And the venue was also equally interesting. It was a small venue, maybe like 30 to 45 chairs capacity, and I got there really early, so there weren't that many people there at the time, and I actually didn't know what Rodney looked like, so I was like, looking at guys with long wizard beards, wondering if he had Rodney. I was sure that he would have the longest, so I was trying to figure out who the grandest wizard was, but I couldn't figure it out. So I kind of just stood around, and anyways, it was a great showing overall. Everyone was really enthusiastic about the show. The craziest part was the show that he put on before 237, which I'm not sure if you guys are aware of, but it was called like a mega mix, is what he called it.
So that happened before.
Yeah, which took me by surprise. It was an hour long, basically a cut up of clips from his favorite. Actually, before I get into that, let me explain this. So first, Rodney got up and he explained that when he made 237, he was just out to make this documentary about The Shining and like the hidden symbols in it, which obviously is very interesting on its own. But he said that in the process of researching for this documentary, he came into the sync world, which he previously didn't have exposure to, and he was basically just taken with it. And
did he say the sync world?
Yeah, he mentioned synchromysticism. I was totally shocked by this too. I had no idea any of this was going to happen, so I was just kind of sitting, you know, humbly in the audience listening to this guy.
Well, because when we talked to him on 42 Minutes, it was you that he mentioned, you know, like it was your video.
Right off the bat. He was like, I didn't know those Christopher Lloyd videos.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. No, I didn't know that. You know, to be honest and shameless, I say this kind of shamelessly, but I've been reading all the 237 posts on Facebook, but I haven't put in the time to look at them, and I hadn't even watched 237 up until this night. And I thought that it was okay, because sometimes with sync stuff, you know, it's about timing with when you embrace certain material. So I was excited to embrace it in this manner where I saw this live screening. So,
yes.
But yeah, so I'm sitting there in the audience, and he starts basically talking about synchromysticism and how amazing it is. And obviously no one in the audience has any idea what he's talking about.
Cricket.
Exactly. And I just wanted to like stand up and yell like,
Here I am.
Like, we're all around you. We have
infiltrated.
Yeah. So, I could see in his tone and in the way he was talking about this that like he was like one of us now. Like he wanted to grab these people by the neck and be like, watch sync videos. and in a way, that's kind of what he did, because everyone was in there to watch 237, and he had advertised for this mega mix, but I don't think anyone anticipated the extent of it. It was an hour long.
Wow.
And it was really intense, actually. It was really well put together, as you would expect from, you know, a director of his caliber. He took a lot of like Illuminati and mainstream conspiratorial stuff and then built it up to like the more extreme points of view and perspectives, and then he started to weave synchromystic stuff into there, and eventually he probably had like maybe 20 to 25 minutes of just synchromystic content from various people's videos.
Fucking need.
Hey man, it was crazy, because I sat in the audience for the first like 15 minutes of this film, and I was like, okay, cool, this is all Illuminati stuff, I've seen it before. The audience was loving it, and I'll tell you about that in a minute, because that experience was interesting, watching Illuminati videos with people who had not seen them before. So,
guys, like, freaking out.
Oh, no, they weren't. It was, how do I explain this? So we are so desensitized to all this stuff because we've been doing it for a decade or more. Like, when we watch crazy conspiratorial movies, it's like watching Saturday morning cartoons, but these right. people did not know how to react. I mean, they didn't know whether to like laugh or cry or get up and run out of the theater. Like, there were at one point, like this couple in front of me were like standing up because they were like laughing and so excited. And the overwhelming reaction was just absolute like gut busting laughter from everybody. But I could see that they were also taking it seriously. And after the show, in fact, I said to one of the guys, I was like, hey, man, I'm sorry, because I had actually solicited him to go in there. And I wasn't saying I'm sorry, like, as like, I'm sorry to drag you into this, actually trying to get a sense of what he thought about the show. And he replied by saying, no, man, I loved it. Like, it was so cool. And so that kind of reassured me that everyone did enjoy it, even though they were laughing. I just took their laughter as like, they didn't know how to react, really. You know, they didn't know how to react to somebody telling them that, like, when Kanye West wears a white belt, it means that he's worshiping this star. And then he changes it to a pink belt because this other star is next to that one. And, you know, it was a lot of stuff like that. Not necessarily ideas that I subscribe to, but it was right. cool to expose these people to this kind of stuff. So anyways, I'm rambling here.
No,
that's
this
needed,
is,
though.
Yeah,
that's being honest.
We hired you for this.
You're just doing your job,
right?
Yo.
Trying to do my job here.
What did you see, like, what kind of videos made it into the Megamix from our community?
Okay, so Jake's videos were in there, Steve's stuff, Will's stuff was in there. I believe Kevin's stuff. There were some of my stuff in there, and who else's? There was one other. You know, I can't quite remember. I'm sure there was one other. Maybe Jeremy's stuff.
Did you get you had contact? You made contact?
Listen, I made contact in the strangest way. Like, I stumbled into this. I stumbled into a screening of sync videos.
But then did you stand all 7 feet of you up and then go and shake his hand and say, "Hey, I'm Joe Alexander. I made."
Oh, of course. Yeah, I felt compelled to introduce myself, not just because I realized at that point that he was so into sync, but also because I wanted to meet him. You know, he had put together this really cool compilation. So between the mega mix and the screening of 237, there was a small break, and I went and introduced myself. And you know, he was happy to meet me, and he mentioned that he was really into sync, and you know, he'd like to talk more in the future. So, yeah. So me and Rodney, he's good.
That's your next video, me and Rodney.
Yeah.
Well, that's fabulous. And then, so just as a final parting thought, what did you think of Room 237 then, as far as like a it kind of is a big sync video.
Yeah, so I could see why it was so he was became sucked into synchromysticism while making this video, because you know the two subjects are just so closely related. I mean, the subject of his documentary, which was like the hidden symbols in this movie, and I'm surprised that he didn't have anyone from the sync community come and take an angle on the film. Or maybe he did, because I don't know everyone who's in it, but because he doesn't list them, at least when they're speaking. But I liked the film a lot from the standpoint of him pointing out like interesting things that Kubrick did intentionally. You know, because nobody who was really commenting in the film talked about, well, maybe this is unintentional. That would have been a little more syncy. But so I can't really call it like a sync video, because it's all about intentionally placed symbols things like that. But for what it was, which was, you know, about intentionally placed stuff, I thought it was awesome.
But what was fascinating for me is that, so he's talking about intentionality, but as the person who's communicating this intentionality, the footage that he's using to communicate, like that was a lot of his process was pure sync. Like he was finding clips and they just fit perfect, you know, that kind of thing. The same kind of things that, you know, our community has done for years now.
Yeah. I imagine that process and making that documentary hopefully will spiral him into making just straight sync videos, which could be monumental.
Imagine if
he does a full-length video where he's just like, you know, screw intentionally placed stuff. I want to make a sync video about the craziest, voices of the universe speaking to us through cinema. I mean, that could be so.
Those have already been made by a dude named Joe.
I'm talking full length, winning awards at whatever that he win awards at, whatever those places.
The Oscar for sync video this year goes to.
I think 237 won awards at some sort of festival. I remember seeing that somewhere. I wouldn't be surprised. But to evaluate the video, the 237 itself, I thought it was very good. Yeah, I really liked it. Aside from the content, I thought it was put together very well.
I enjoyed it too. Okay, so that's 10/19, right? And then a week later, there is the San Francisco Sync Up in Berkeley at the Monkey House, and we've been promoting that forever on 42 Minutes here. And all right, let's start here. Does anybody on this conversation like the word sync head? I want to come up with something better. And the beats were the beats, and we're sync heads. Come on, we can do better than this, right?
No.
We're
talking about a post-hip-hop society, man. There's hip hop heads and there's sink heads and there's dead heads.
I don't want to be a sink head. I want to.
Sink head kind of sounds like we have our head in the sand. Sink head.
Oh, Jesus. Go on, please. Somebody save us.
All right. So, anyway, this was your first initiation with members of the community. Is that correct?
Yeah, this was the first time that I had confirmation that all the people that I engage with online are actually real.
Right. And so when when Hagrid came and knocked on your door and said, "You're a wizard, Harry."
Yeah.
I mean, how was that for you?
An owl came. I mean, it was cool. it was like meeting guys who I literally have known, you know, Alan and David for a while. So it was like meeting old friends, really. That's how it felt.
No,
which was surprising to me, because it was the first time in my life that I've, you know, had strictly online communication with people and then met them in the flesh. And It was good. And okay. By good, yeah.
When, all right, the show in Berkeley is on the 26th. When does the party start, basically? And party, I mean just this kind of sink cabin-esque conversation, yeah, about sink, and then you're doing this in your body instead of online, and so it feels so much more real and more immediate and more intense.
Yeah, well, there's definitely more pressure because, like, you know, online you can sit and think and research your sinks, but and when you're face-to-face with Alan Green, you have to spit out your sinks off the top of your head. So it was a different experience, but it started the day before the Monkey House Radio 8 Ball show. So I met Alan and, you know, we conversed and hung out. We met Justin Morgan that night, the first time I'd ever met Justin. So we basically just hit it off and talked a little bit throughout the night. But the next day was really when everyone came together. It was myself, Andras Jones, Jeremy Violator, Alan, David Plate, Justin Morgan, and who am I missing here?
I think that's it.
Okay, yeah. So six of us together in one spot. And
okay, so what time did you show up for the show, which began at, were the doors at 7, the show began at 7:30?
Yeah, that's right. I was there at like 6:30-ish. I think when I arrived, only Andras was there, and Ira, who was his musical guest, who was really good, by the way, really, really good. Alan came a few minutes later. Jeremy showed up, Jeremy Violator, 20 minutes later or so. So, and then David a little bit after that.
And was there much work needed to prep the space? Did you guys, like, were you enlisted in,
There was a little bit of stuff here and there. You know, we had to set up the chairs. It was a nice venue, and they had already set it up with, like, a little cemetery scene and a big skeleton. You guys will be able to see it because we filmed it. You know, Andras had already set up the projector and the podium. He had all his instruments set up, and it was, like, a nice, dark ambiance to the whole place. The walls were, like, a real dark burgundy with black curtains everywhere. It had already been set up in, like, a Halloween theme, so it was kind of perfect for this Radio 8 Ball thing.
Okay, and with
Victoria Nelson there gave it probably a good gothic feel. So.
It did feel gothic, yeah. I also want to mention that, so in the back of this venue is a long hallway, and back there was where David Plate's art was being shown. So this was the first time I've ever gotten to see his collages up close, which they look cool online, but in person they just, like, some of them look really 3D. It's amazing just how bright they are, and, you know, seeing them in, like, 3-foot by 3-foot frames was just really incredible. They were, you know, big and up close, and so everyone got to go back there and enjoy his art for a while, which was really nice.
Was that That's the awesome. Thing you saw when you walked in?
No, that was in the back. So you came in into the audience area of the Radio 8 Ball show, and then you walked behind the curtain behind the stage, and then there was a long hallway through a soundproof door.
So David Plate is the man behind the curtain.
Yes, David Plate is the man behind the curtain, which gets better because later we projected a image of Oz's face accidentally onto the curtain, which was
so
awesome.
There's two things that I want to bring up right here. First off, it's cool that you say that because I always imagine, like, David Plate's artwork when I see it in real life, it would be like a magic eye. You remember those things you used to stare at and then, like, another image would come through? And I always imagine that I'd be looking at one of his and then you'd see, like, a fucking 3D picture of Jack Nicholson's head in the door, like, going back and forth when you move your eyes.
You know, it kind of feels like that in a way because every time you look at it, you see something new or, like, something different. It's like just like a magic eye. You look at it and then later something comes, you know, to your attention. Same with his artwork because there's so much spliced in there that there's always, like, something new to find. So I was really impressed by his stuff up close, honestly. I mean, it looks cool online, but up close, it's incredible.
Which is amazing to me because usually it doesn't work that way.
What are you saying? Usually online it's cooler?
Well, it seems like you have more resolution on a screen than you would in person. And so that was the thing I was always curious about, whether or not he could make that transition from the screen to a print and for it to hold up.
They're much clearer on print. Yeah, at least David's are. Yeah, yeah.
How many pieces were there?
There were about 8 or 9.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that alone right there would be worth, you know, it's like Yeah, I'll go to an art show with David.
Listen, LaHaye. I'm not sure if anyone will get the opportunity to see them up close, because obviously he's out here in the Bay Area. But as someone who's seen them, I'm telling you, if you can get your hands on one of these, or by contacting David or whatever, I'm just putting a little plug for them, not for David's sake, but just for the audience's sake. His art is really that good, I promise you. Like, the first thing I said when I saw them, I was like, I have to have some of these. I have to. They're that cool. They're like nothing you've ever seen before. It's like 1,000 different media characters mashed up into this collage of just occult amazingness.
That's awesome. Badass.
Yeah.
So would you say that you got accidentally initiated during this whole process?
The whole thing was planned. You know, I knew what I was getting into, but in a way, I guess, yeah, it was the first time I got to meet Andras and see what he was about with, like, his musical talents and his hosting talents up close. So that was fun. It was obviously my first time participating in a Radio 8 Ball show, which was a lot of fun to be there live. Because when you watch Radio 8 Ball, you can't really get a sense of, like, how the audience is amazed by the synchronicity.
Yeah, how much they're into it. You know
what
I mean?
Like sitting in the audience, I got to hear people like whispering, like, oh my God, like, did you catch that? Or, oh my God, did you hear that? And then they were throwing in their own personal syncs, like, I can't believe the song just said that, or stuff like that, you know?
So then you would say the event essentially was a success?
I think it was amazing. You know, it was beyond a success to me. But, you know, I obviously have a little bit of a bias because I'm really into sync. It's a big hobby of mine, and I was excited to meet all the players and to see Radio 8 Ball live. But to be honest, I can't imagine that the audience members would have said anything different. You know, actually, we had to try to explain how this went. We had a guy come in off the street randomly. He was walking home to his house, and he was like, oh, what's going on here? So he came in randomly off the street and started watching, and I was like, dude, you can leave, like, whenever you want, you know, you stay, leave, whatever, it's cool. And he stayed for 2.5 hours. He kept coming up to me afterwards, like, who are you guys? Like, what is this? And do you do this more often? Like, I need to come to these. And afterwards, we had, like, a little almost green room setting, like, you guys doing 42 minutes, but obviously it was live, in person, I mean. So after the show was over, we all just sat around, like, and talked. We ordered pizza. We talked sync. Ira, the musical guest, played a few more songs. We projected Oz onto the wall. And this guy stayed the whole time. Like, he was just like a normal dude, you know? And he just stayed and was talking to us and was like, what books did you write? Like, what blog do you do? He was writing down people's information.
Cool.
You know? So.
Yeah, so a synchronistic house party. That's hilarious. Yeah. I mean, so when I met David the first time, it was Sync Cabin. I don't remember, a couple years ago. He pulled out all this stuff because he's a DJ, and all of a sudden he started syncing music to videos. Just, you know, incredible.
Yeah.
But tell us about the shape of the night. How many songs did the guy perform? How did that go? I mean, I'm really curious about Victoria Nelson.
Well, Ira, the musical guest, he had 8 songs, obviously, for Radio 8 Ball. He only played 7 because we had a bunch of questions, but I'm not sure Andras liked some of them or what. So we only did 7 questions plus Victoria Nelson. And she went on for maybe 10, 15 minutes or so of really interesting insight. And it's not just her book, but her last book. Unfortunately, I can't remember what it was called right now. But
Secret Life of Puppets?
That's right, Secret Life of Puppets. And I wouldn't say she's a sync head, but she, like, seems to be so well-versed in all types of intellectual fields and studies that synchromysticism is naturally a part of her life, or a part of her awareness, if that makes sense. You know, it's like she's never studied it, but within the context of her other studies, she threw in things like, these archetypes are expressed in this media and which was... you know, classic sync talk, even though she's not really a sync head, I guess. Or is she? Am I getting this wrong?
No. I would say she's an academic.
Yeah, she's an academic, exactly. So it was cool to see her really gel with us. And she even gelled during the Radio 8 Ball show where we were syncing the song to the question, and then, like, a sync head would actually come up and help interpret the song. And she was totally into it in that way. She was like, yeah, I can see the correlations here, and
So you would say that she also had a pretty good time like yourself?
I think she did. Yes.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. And then did you ask a question of the eight ball? Did Alan ask a question of the eight ball? Or were you guys just interpreting the questions?
No, we were just interpreting. There was a big enough audience there that Andras was able to pass out cards, take questions, and only audience members were coming up and asking the Pop Oracle questions. And then each of the sync heads would go up one by one per audience member to help interpret or just give their little insight into the Oracle's answer.
Wow, that's intense.
Yeah.
Now, Will, you were supposed to debut a film there, right?
Didn't happen.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, they had technical difficulties. Is that what you said, Doug?
Yep.
Is that what it was, Will?
That's what happened, yeah. Yeah, but that's okay because the film was roughed. I mean, it's not finished yet. It shall probably be out within the next month, I'm figuring. But it was just – it's not worth doing unless you can do it right. However, right. I think that – I don't know. I wonder how your experience that we were talking about previously went, because I've always wondered what a room full of people's – like what the energy would be like in a room full of people watching a sync vid for the first time, especially if they're not – you know, had not been introduced to it before.
Will, if you can somehow set up a venue in your hometown and screen one of your videos, I highly recommend it. Because, you know, watching my videos screened in Rodney's Megamix was just so enlightening for me. Like, to watch people who don't know what sync is watch my, like, every sync in my video, they would just burst out laughing. And the same with other people's videos, same with Jake's stuff, you know, with everyone's
stuff.
That's
kind of a gift that you received there. The idea that, so you got a screening of your work in front of an audience and you got to observe them. Man, you're a lucky guy.
Yeah, I was grateful for it. I mean, it was a magical experience, I will say. Because I've always wondered, like, when you post something on YouTube, like, Will, I'm sure you can back me up here, but, like, you want to know what people think about it. And I think as sync heads in general, we're curious what non-sync heads think about our work when they see it for the first time. So, you know, I got to witness that. And if I could put one word on it, I would say it's laughter is how they react. They just laugh.
Well, so this has been a dream for a while, like to have an event where you would have members of the community creating videos for the purpose of debuting it at, like, you create some density, you get enough lead time so that you have a lot of people coming to hang out. So, like, would you say it was a worthwhile way to spend your time to hang out with people in person, Joe?
I mean, I told Alan this, which was that, you know, I wouldn't trade this for anything. I really feel like there was something powerful that happened when we all came together. You know, sync is obviously this spiritual, whatever you want to call it, path that we are all a part of. It's a hobby for us. So to get with other like-minded people, just, I don't know, there's something powerful about it. I would do it again in a heartbeat, and I wish it would have lasted longer.
Give us some impressions. You know, you're meeting people in person.
Well, Justin Morgan has a great beard. Like, really. Statuesque beard. It's amazing. terrific reddish hues.
What about?
Oh, wow.
What about
Justin? Justin's a redhead, huh?
All right. So here's something. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say.
No, wait. That question has to be answered. Justin Morgan.
I'm not sure if
ginger.
He's. I'm not. No. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not sure that he.
No, that makes sense on some level. He resonates. He's got a pan-type resonance. When we were hanging out in Western Washington, you know, he had this stick, and he just seemed like, you know, like the devil of the woods.
Ah, yes. I'm not sure what that means, but...
Well, there's something about the red beard pan, you know, just something...
Yeah, I don't know if he's a redhead. But his beard, you know, my beard, when it gets long enough, it's a little reddish. But I will say that Justin is a very interesting guy. I got to meet him for the first time. He's very, very cool, very fun to sit and talk. Not just conspiracy and sync stuff, but just general intellectual conversation. And You know, he was nice enough to invite us over to his house, and he was very hospitable, and that was a good experience for me.
What about, and this is where I was going with this, Jeremy Violator. So he created that wonderful thing for us this summer, you know, so he made this whole 42-minute package, and then we just plugged it in for one of the episodes, and it was incredible. But then we had the weird fallout, and then ended up having to, you know, kind of talk about difficult subjects, which was an interesting always record. But so what was he like in person? What can you say about him?
So I was talking with some of the other Sync guys, and we were like, you know, with some of the characters in our community, we know what to expect when we meet them because we've seen them before. But with Jeremy, nobody had any idea. And because his name is online is Violator Hellspawn, like we were saying that, like, we were picturing like the big snake from Aladdin when Jafar turns into the serpent with like all the arms. Like, we just had no idea. Like, what does someone named Violator Hellspawn look like? But he's just one of us. I mean, he's a normal, awesome dude. I spent a lot of time with him this weekend, actually, and I mean, he reminds me a lot of myself. Like, we connected in a lot of ways. He's funny. He's awesome. He's intellectual, and he's the shit.
That's, you know, we've been focusing in on the Monkey House, the Radio 8 Ball event, but like, speak a little bit about the larger moment. You said you had 3 days.
Yeah. So the first day was just me hanging out with Alan and Justin outside of the context of like Sync events. And then this Monkey House Saturday. And then the day after that, I got to hang out with Alan, Andras, Ira, and Jeremy. And it was just awesome. I mean, it was just a continuation of our Sync discussions, because it's funny that when we're all together, we don't like intend to sit and talk Sync, but it just naturally pours out of us, which is one of the most enjoyable things about hanging around these guys. Like, you know,
because you're like finally free to do it, you know?
Yes.
Like, I think there's so many of us that like keep our mouths shut in normal everyday situations where it's just like shit's crazy and you people don't even know.
You don't even know. It's like you want to smack people upside the head and be like, look at this crazy thing that's happening, but you can't. But I can't tell you how refreshing it was to like walk around with Jeremy and just like speak freely about things that I was seeing. And he felt the same way, you know, and he responded as if we were like the same mind. And, you know, it was very liberating. So I got to spend like 5 or 6 hours with them on Sunday. It was really good. I didn't want to leave, to be honest with you. I think what the whole weekend affirmed for me is that our Sync community is obviously full of nutcases, but but
that's what I told Victoria Nelson. It probably will be the freakiest place in the Bay Area for that night.
We are you know, awesome, socially adjusted, fun people to be around, and when we're around each other, it just works. You know, it gels. And I think that if anyone's listening to this that feels like they're on the fence about like, am I Sync-y? Am I not? Am I one of these people? Who knows? I mean, just if you have the opportunity to get in a room with some of us, try it, because it just might be like one of the most enjoyable things you've ever done. For me, it was, you know.
And so how would you, I mean, I know how I characterized it. How would you characterize that feeling?
Well, I can't compare it to anything I've had before, experienced before.
I mean, we compared it to Harry Potter and owls and Hogwarts.
Oh, Jesus. Another Harry Potter reference?
But, I mean, is that what it's...
it's being relaxed in your element. Like, you don't have to have your guard up, you know? You can say...
The craziest shit. And they're just going to believe it.
You can speak to
totally,
mind,
yeah.
You know?
That monkey there, driving the car with bananas coming out of his ears. I'm totally syncing with that.
You know, it's like you're no longer a heretic, you know, you're with other people of like mind, and
good
that's,
word.
Thanks. Yeah, so, yeah. Listen, it'd be like if you were a Copernicus and you were suddenly thrust into a room with other people who believed in these theories that you did and didn't want to hang you, you know, you'd just be like, ah, thank God.
And that's what I was looking for. If we were going to put you as a spokesman for a Sync cabin, let's say we planned a Sync cabin, would this be something you would say, oh, I want to go to that, or something you'd say, if you know, what would you say about that, Joe?
For me, it's a definite. Like, you know, I think that this should happen again, you know. Yeah, that's the best way to put it. It's no question. You know, it should happen. It was good for me. It was good for all the other Sync guys involved. Everyone had fun. And I think any Sync guys out there who haven't gotten a chance to do something like this, I really think that they'll enjoy it.
Cool. Alan, join us. Tell us a little bit about your experience. You're here.
Hey, guys. Joe, good to hear your voice again.
What's up, Alan?
It's been a good 24 hours or so since I've heard it.
So you're back to reality now, Alan?
I just got back into North Carolina. I mean, just back into my apartment. And, I mean, I'm tired. It's been a lot of traveling and a lot of running around for me, but this was so, so worth it. Completely, really such a pleasure.
Do you have any impressions? You know, we're near the end of our 42 minutes, but do you have any impressions that you would want to...
Do you want to impersonate anybody? Do you have any impressions for us?
Let's see, I heard some good Terrence McKenna impersonations. Jeremy Violator Hellspawn does a pretty good Wilner.
He does a great Wilner. He does a really good Wilner.
That's so appropriate for some
But no, I mean, just, the event on Saturday night was really, really went so well. Getting to see Tom Waits on Sunday was a pleasure, something I've been waiting for a really long time. And then just getting to see, like you said, Tom Waits, I've been waiting 20-something years to see him in person. And I would still say the guys that I've only been in contact with for the last year or two or three or four like that, some of these guys that I got to spend time with this weekend, it was even more exciting. Just to actually get to sit down and have FaceTime. I know, Doug, obviously we've done this a few times, getting a bunch of people together, so you've had that experience.
Was it a similar experience, though, Alan, as the two Sync cabins that you've done?
Yeah, it was somewhere between our New York running around hectically and the Sync cabins, and that's really due to both Joe and Jeremy's sort of taking the plunge and freeing up their schedules and be willing to come join us, and both Jeremy, who actually took like a 10-hour Greyhound just to come to the event and everything, and said, well, if I'm going to be there, can we actually hang out? And we were able to get tickets, last-minute tickets to the concert on Sunday, so both Joe and Jeremy were able to come with us.
Oh, cool.
So, like, that was something. Like, to sit in a concert venue, we're sitting on the lawn, you know, watching a band, watching many bands, and just kind of at some point looking around and realizing, not only am I enjoying this experience and enjoying being with these guys, but this is a really cool thing to kind of unite together. Like, to look around and, like, who you had a concert with, but a bunch of Sync heads. That was really fun.
And so then there was lots of real-time Sync?
You know, there was a lot of potential for it. When the concert first started, I started taking Sync notes.
You're such a Sync dork.
I know, completely. Melissa, my wife, keeps saying that, you know, it was just a bunch of dorks all together all this time. She kept making fun of us, but acknowledging her own dorkiness and that she was enjoying every minute of it. But like, so, you know, obviously if you've heard the most recent Synchronize episode 4, where we talked about what this event was going to be and we talked about the devil and stuff like that, the first few songs that anybody performed, I was just like, oh, that's perfect. Oh, that's perfect. Oh, that's perfect. It was kind of like a Radio 8 Ball on speed, you know? The first song that Jenny Lewis did was called Run, Devil, Run. And
oh,
we're
yeah.
Okay. And Andras was like, maybe she heard the podcast. Like, she had this set list plan.
And he said it like Woody Allen. Because he knew.
So, but honestly, then once the music, we just kind of got into the music or just got into our own conversations, and I think it's almost how a lot of us probably interact with Sync on a daily basis, where it happens and you just kind of smile and nod and go back to what you were doing. So we didn't go too overboard with real-time Syncs.
Joe, do you have any parting thoughts for us?
I think that last point by Alan is special, is that, you know, we didn't go overboard with it. We just kind of let it flow, which is appropriate. You know, we pointed out little things, smiled and nodded, and it was nice to have other people around you smiling and nodding for a change.
I had no idea that you guys ended up going to the concert. So then, yeah, like that takes it to a whole nother level.
Yeah. And Rain Dogs, Alan, has taken my day to a whole nother level, by the way.
Oh, if you've been enjoying that album, that is a great, yeah, I'm really glad to hear that. That is a pleasure for me to hear that.
Yeah, man.
What is that?
That's a Tom Waits album, a great Tom Waits album.
What is it called?
Rain Dogs.
Rain Dogs.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I just now experienced Frank's album.
Frank's is Wild it, Years?
Yeah, it's now, I've noticed that in other albums he mentions Frank too. Is like, is Frank a running character?
Yeah, it's actually Frank Zappa is who he keeps referring to. They were friends, played a lot together. So on a when I was first getting into Tom Waits, I thought the same thing. Is this a recurring character? Because he'll make references to Frank. He's got songs, Frank's theme, Frank's Wild Years.
Yeah, yeah,
and different
yeah.
things. And then at some point I realized, and on a few tracks he marks as Frank Z. And then I realized at some point these are references to Frank Zappa.
So that's 42 minutes. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Alan. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you've been of course.
All right. Now, you've all been listening to Joe Alexander on 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com. Now, Joe's work can be found at youtube.com/user/barelyhuman11. That's channel barelyhuman11. For more information about the SyncBook, our guest, to check out past shows, or to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, please be sure and visit our website at thesyncbook.com/42 minutes. If you do like what you hear and would like to support the show, by all means, follow the link on the website to the donation page.
Let's
Thank
break
you.
There for one sec. Just break
okay.
In. Okay, so I'm just thinking in terms of, you know, all the public radio stations have their radiothon. $1 episode, that's $4 a month. You can set this up on a recurring charge. You can write SyncBook Radio in the little thing or whatever you want. If that was interesting to you to pay us for what we're doing, this would really tickle us because we put a lot of work into this. And so think about that. $4 a month, how much is your Netflix? $4 a month for 42 minutes. I think that's fair. What about Synchronize or Always Record? You know, set it up for $5 a month for SyncBook Radio. It's something to consider as the shows
become. Let's bring sync heads together. Sync heads unite.
Well, this episode says that, doesn't it? It's like Joe is just beaming with joy, and it's like, yes, yes.
And we're all going to get together and wear Guy Fawkes mask.
Yikes!
Occupy sync, baby.
All right.
Okay, that's what you call killing it. So. Everyone, thank you very, very much. We shall see you again later.
And I need to take this time right now to point out that the audio from the event will be released and as an episode of Always Record in a few days, so stay tuned to SyncBook Radio for that. Have a lovely Tuesday. Take care.
The sun goes down, when the sun goes down, you head inside. 'Cause the light's